Hi, good morning to all of you, and welcome to church. And yes, for this second quarter of the year, we will conclude on the second part of the discipleship series. And so we will be looking at things like some of the how to look after the environment, what it means to, as a Christian, to work in our attitude towards work, and we look at time management, and looking at how to be prepared for the Lord's second coming, and also possibly looking into things like how we can appreciate the gift of children, repentance, and forgiveness. I think these are important topics that we have to look into, because all of us, we face the daily pressure from all around, pressing us to conform to the standards of the world. But as disciples of Jesus Christ, it's important for us to make a stand and to have a clear stand, not that we are totally going out to fight everyone in the world, but to stand up as disciples of Jesus Christ so that we can have a witness for Jesus Christ. And today we look into this topic of the attitude towards the world system opposed to God. In John chapter 15, verses 18 to 19, it tells us this: in the world, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. The world system is such that it really hated Jesus in the first place. If you look at during the times of the Lord Jesus Christ, the leaders during Jesus' time felt that he was a rebel, a radical, someone who was totally against the grain, someone who might even cause the wrath of Rome to come down upon the nation hard. And so the leaders said, death to this radical. He's totally out of line. But to those people who tasted the goodness of God, who have felt the touch, the healing touch of the Lord Jesus, they say, this is a blessed sign from God. Well, we have to decide for ourselves whether we would want to follow Jesus or follow the standards of the world or the systems of the world. It is a choice that all of us will have to make if we want to be true disciples of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus himself says that we cannot serve two masters, so we have to choose and decide. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for today. We pray, O God, that you would lead us now. Give to us, O Lord, the listening power. We pray that the truth from your word can be listened to and understood and be applied in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. In the Bible, the word world can have several meanings. It can mean all the created things of this world that God has created. It can also mean all people, like, for example, for God so loved the world. Okay? And it can also mean the present age, which is against God, or the world order. And it can also mean all the people of the world that opposes God. Okay? And so this is how the world, the word world is mentioned in the Bible. And yeah, the next thing that we have to know is that we are not to be part of this world's system or the spirit that opposes God. God is truth and God is righteousness. In the world today, we find that the world system tells us, make all the money you can. Doesn't matter how you do it. Only be a wealthy man. The world and its system says that it's okay if you scam someone. But, you know, there will be someone who will fall for the scam. But it's all right just to be rich. And I think this 2 days ago, I fell for a scam, really. I went to one of the supermarkets here in Pendant Hills, and I looked, and I was wanting to buy, you know, some pies. And I looked at the pie and says, "Oh, wow, this is a good price, $6.90. And usually it's, you know, it sells for around $10. So I quickly, without thinking anything about it, just bought it. And when I came back to church, when I was about to microwave it, and I realized that I'd been scammed. Because $10, previously $10, I can get 4 pies. And now $6.90, I only get 2 pies. All right? So it's the same size box, only that it is not as tall. So maybe it's not the producer's fault, all right? But maybe it's me looking at it, like thinking like, oh, it's cheaper, I'll get it. So there are a lot of things in this world that are not being very honest. There are a lot of systems in this world that is totally against God's direction. But the Bible tells us we must store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Because Jesus says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, it tells us, do not love the world or anything that is from the world, that is in the world. And what are the things that are in the world? Well, this is basically the system of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. All that a lot of people seems to be to care about these days is how I present myself, how people views me. It is not cool to be humble. It is not cool to be poor. All of us, we got to live up to certain standards so that people can look up to us. And, we say that, this is a dog-eat-dog world. And, you know, as long as you, as you get richer and richer, that's quite all right. Doesn't matter how you get there. And so we find that the rich gets richer and the poor gets poorer. However, in this book of James, it gives us some possible ways that we can get ourselves out of this worldly system and follow God's advice. First of all, he tells us, right talk comes from right thoughts. One example, for those of us who drives on the road, we have experienced a lot of crazy drivers on the road. You are happily driving, you know, along in your lane, you know, without a care in the world. And all of a sudden, someone just cuts in front of you. What comes out from your mouth first? Oh, bless you, my son. May you have a good day, live long and prosperous. Or would you say, what are you doing? And, you know, your mouth and your action seems to be, you know, fighting to make the expression known. And sometimes, if we are not careful, the words that comes out from our mouth can be very flowery and dishonoring to God. And our actions with our hands can even be worse. And so James asks us to understand and realize that there are some things, there are some wisdom that are earthly, and these worldly wisdom go against God's wisdom. And so he also paints for us heavenly wisdom and why, as Christians and followers and disciples of Jesus Christ, we must download wisdom from heaven. And he says that if we have the right talk from right thoughts with wisdom downloaded from heaven, we can become peacemakers. And as peacemakers who sow in peace, we will reap a harvest of righteousness. Then in our passage that we are considering today, James gave to us some practical advice. He says, what are some of the causes for conflicts? Then what is the consequences of conflicts? Conflict is with us every day. Whether we are fighting with people around us, with our superiors, or we are fighting within ourselves, right? Like, for example, I must sleep now. But no, man, maybe another 5 minutes of video watching, and that 5 minutes turns out to be 5 hours. Okay? But James also tells us when there is a cause and there's a consequence, there is also a cure. This cure is found in the Lord Jesus. So who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. Exercise wisdom. Okay? Wisdom actually is humbling. It is very humble. Okay? Warren Wiersbe put it this way: knowledge enables us to take things apart, but wisdom enables us to put things together and relate God's truth to daily life. When I was a student in high school, there were times in our biology class where we had to dissect animals. We take it apart and we see, you know, the internal organs, and we observe, you know, how the animal's body systems work. But we were never able to put them back together again. But when we look at ourselves, and then when we get this wisdom from God, we realize that we are sinners needing God to help us, to put us back together again. And so we come to Jesus, we confess our sins to Jesus, and we ask him to help us. This is where we can relate God's truth, and we say to God, God, I know I'm a sinner. There's no way I can save myself. I need you. And so this is where we ask God to help us. And in our daily life, we do make a lot of mistakes. Some of the mistakes we make, sometimes we cannot put them back together again. But with God's help, we can depend on him to help us patch things up. That in God, there is always hope and love and restoration. No matter how deep a problem that we have got ourselves into, God is our solution. Okay? And so James says, if you have this wisdom, show it by your works. What does your works say? Does people look at the works that we do and say that, this is a wise person? Or do they say to us, this person's work, we can forget about him. He has, he's nothing but wise in what he does. Where does it come from? Does it come from a pure and humble heart? Let's look at one or two examples. In the Old Testament, we find that there is this thing called the Tower of Babel. Would you say that the actions in the Tower of Babel, what men were trying to do, was it done out of wisdom or done by wisdom, or do you think that it is done without wisdom at all? The people then thought that they were very wise. They could make bricks for themselves. And then they say that they want to make this building, this tower, so that they can be together and reach up to heaven. That is not a wise thing to do. Well, why? Because they were only thinking about themselves. They were thinking that they can be like God. Isn't it like what we are doing in the world today? Where we try to push God out of the picture and says that man is in charge of his own destiny. I can do it my way. In fact, Frank Sinatra has the song, I did it my way. What about Abraham? when he ventured into Egypt, logic tells him that maybe he did the right thing because he was trying to escape from a famine. But it was not done wisely because he did not consult God. In fact, when he went into Egypt, he said to his wife Sarah, "You are a beautiful woman. Please don't say that you are my wife because they will kill me. Say that you're my sister." Can you see the words of Abraham? He was more interested in saving his own life than to save Sarah's life. Or what about David and Goliath? Goliath taunted the armies of God and the Israelites. And probably Goliath must have looked at David and says, "You are nothing to me but like a flea. I am a giant. You are just a young man." But David depended not on his own wisdom. He depended on the Lord. Yes, you might say that David was very skilled with his slingshots, but he depended on God to bring down the giant, because he says, "I come against you in the name of the armies, of the God of the heavenly armies, because you have defiled his name." And so it really depends on us how we use our wisdom. Did we use it wisely? Did it come from our hearts? And so James encourages us to use wisdom to overcome the world system. And then he says this, "But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic." Wow, pretty scary. "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice." Earthly wisdom. Well, if we have earthly wisdom, it will get us into trouble. Verse B again says this, "The world and its wisdom knew not God, and in its wisdom rejects the very gospel of God." The world system tells us, "I can do it. Human beings is the pinnacle of all, of all living things on earth. Who is better than human being?" In this world today, you will find that man is trying hard to put God aside and says that to trust in God is not cool. Trusting in God really gets you nowhere. Because if you depend on all the findings of human beings in this world today, I don't think we need God. But all this wisdom, this earthly wisdom, is all about a rejection of the gospel of God. And so we have to be very careful. The fruit that earthly wisdom bears for us is bitter envy. It ends up in strife. It ends up in boasting. It ends up in deceit. Anyone who is alive today will find this true. Whether we are student or working or retired, we find that bitter envy, strife, boasting, and deceit happens all around us. It can happen within us. It can happen within our family. It can happen within the church. It can happen with our colleagues and our workplace. Sometimes we look at someone else's car and say that, "Wow, this person drives a Lexus." Another person says, "What's so good about Lexus? I got a Rolls Royce." And did you know that someone once said, I think it was Andau, the comedian, the Australian comedian, he says that he could actually buy a Rolls Royce for $32,000, but then there's a catch: maintaining the Rolls Royce is a huge problem. Okay. But sometimes you say that
I don't care. I just want people to envy me. So I don't care even if it costs me an arm and a leg, but I still want to get the Rolls Royce. Why? Because we want to boast about our success. In the Southeast Asian culture, if you drive a Toyota, it's good. If you drive a Honda, you are successful. However, if you drive a Mercedes-Benz, it's like, you have really made it in this world. And all because we want to show to the world that we are successful. We are really deceiving ourselves because the things that we have here on earth, our worldly possession, will not last forever. And that's where Jesus tells us we are to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Where does this earthly wisdom comes from? It is earthly, it is unspiritual, it is demonic. And if we look at it carefully, we find that we are being controlled. If we have earthly wisdom, we are being controlled by the world, by the flesh, and by the devil. Jesus says that the devil, from the very beginning, he is a liar and a murderer. And if he lies, it is his own nature. So if we get ourselves so engrossed into the systems of the world, you will find that we will be living a lie. And so we have to be very, very careful. And so James tells us, do not boast about worldly wisdom. And that's where James tells us, now we must download heavenly wisdom. But wisdom that comes from heaven is firstly pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Totally different from the description listed by James under the earthly wisdom. Heavenly wisdom. I like to use Warren Wiersbe's books, and this is what he says. The first step towards true wisdom is the receiving of Jesus Christ as Savior. And then the Word of God is also our wisdom. How can we have heavenly wisdom? The first step is, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ yet, take that step and accept or receive Jesus to be your Savior. Then allow the Word of God to guide your every step. Right? The psalmist says that the Word of God is light for him. Okay? And the psalmist also says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By having the Word of God in his life, in his heart. So the first step to attaining or obtaining God's wisdom is we must have a relationship with Jesus. And having this relationship with Jesus, we use the Word of God to guide us. And so the fruit that it produces, if we have heavenly wisdom, is that it is pure, it is peace-loving, it is considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Don't you want this in your life? If the world gives to us is nothing but stress and problems and, you know, trying to win the rat race, climb up the corporate ladder as high as I can, yet if we have the Word of God in us, heavenly wisdom in us, it gives to us purity. It allows us to be peace-loving, considerate, submissive, and no more competition the spirit. Where does it come from? This source comes from the Heavenly Father. Because when we ask the Heavenly Father, He will give to us this wisdom. And so, all of us Christians, all of us who have trusted in Jesus, this is the promise that God has given to us. He has given to us wisdom. If we do not have that wisdom enough, or we feel like, you know, that we needed help in understanding a certain problem that we are facing, pray to Jesus. Download that wisdom from heaven. Read from God's word, and you will find wisdom for yourself. Peacemaker who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So, what is the fruit of a peacemaker's life? So, Warren Wiersbe put it this way: the life we live enables the Lord to bring righteousness and peace into the lives of others. Would you want that for yourself? That you become a peacemaker to people around you. Have you come across people, non-Christians, saying, when you walk into the room, it brings a certain kind of joy and peace that we don't know why, but it seems like you radiate that peace. And that is not because we are good in ourselves, but because we have found Jesus Christ and He has become our peace, and because we have received Christ's peace, we become peacemakers ourselves. And the fruit is we receive a harvest of righteousness. This week, I thank the Lord that I was given this opportunity to help a college conduct an interview with one of its a lecturer. And he says that sometimes people react very angrily. And the anger that is being, on that surface maybe has a deeper issue. So she says, like, anger is probably only the secondary issue, but the primary issue can be much deeper. So she says that for her, it is important for her to help a person understand and deal with the primary in order to solve the secondary. But sometimes it's not that simple, because it might require us to explore the secondary in order to find out the primary. And in later, as we proceed on with the interview, we looked at some possibilities why Christians feel like so pressed down. And she made an observation. And she says that it's probably because Christians never come to God. God, in so many instances, in fact, in the life of Jesus himself, he took time off to be in communion with the Father. And she said that there are many people, many Christians, never ever connect with God. And so one of the healing points is to reconnect with God. If we believe that God is our healer, then we must come to Him, because He's the one who can give us peace. He's the one who can heal us. And so I thank God, you know, to having that interview and talking to her. I found that, wow, God has been speaking to me a lot of things. Because the topic was on healthy problem solving in family and ministry. And so, wow, I thought I was very blessed to learn so much from this Christian lecturer. And so its source, where does this source of peace comes from? It comes from wisdom that is from above. In James chapter 4, verse 1,
he asks us this question. What causes fight and quarrels among you? Probably when he asks this question, people knows it already. And probably you know it already. Don't they come from your desire that battles within you? Isn't that true? Right? And then in verse 2, he says, you desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and fight. You don't have because you do not ask God. So that's the root problem. I did it my way. I didn't come to God. I didn't ask God. Because I didn't ask God, everything within me is topsy-turvy. I desire, but I don't get it. I don't have it. I want, I covet, but I don't get it. And that makes me feel very uneasy. What causes conflict? Well, Warren Wiersbe put it this way. The root of every war, internal and external, is a rebellion against God. God came to give us peace. When God created this world, He created it perfect. But we desire more. Human beings desire more. And the very root cause of all, every war that we see around us today, it's a rebellion against God. No, I don't care what God says. As long as my rights has been trampled upon, as long as I don't get what I want, I will fight for it. But keep in mind, 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. This is the system of the world. And the world wants us to adopt that. And its sources is, it comes from evil desire. It is because we have unmet desires. We have rejected God. We did not ask God. So whose problem is it when conflict arises? It is basically our problem, not God. Okay? And the fruit of conflict is, we will keep on fighting with each other. And that's not good for, you know, to anybody's life. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with the wrong motives. And you may spend that you may spend what you get on your pleasure. Wow, isn't that just true for us? You know, when we ask, we just simply want God to, oh God, bless me with this and that. Maybe I've told you this story before. There was this person who had a face-to-face conversation with God. And he says to God, God, what is $1 billion to you? And God says, oh, it's like 1 cent to me. Then he says, God, what is 1,000 years to you? And God says, oh, it's like 1 second. And this person says, God, can I have your 1 cent, please? And God says, oh, sure, in a second. So sometimes we try to bargain our way with God, but we cannot win. So we ask, we did not receive because we ask with the wrong motive. Right? There's an example in the Bible. The disciples were so angry with the people around. He says, can we call that, you know, thunder and lightning from heaven? No, that's not what Jesus did. Right? Let's continue on first. Right? You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Oh, that's a warning there. Conflicts, consequences of conflict. Living to please the old nature means to declare war against God. Are we still living in the old life?
if we are still living in the old life, letting ourselves guide us, rather than being guided by the wisdom of God or wisdom from heaven, then our life is at war. We are declaring war against God. We are telling God, God, although you die on the cross for me, I don't care. I just want to live life my own way, not your way. And living the old sinful nature will bring to us a lot of problems. Well, because we do not ask with the right motives, we get ourselves into a lot of problems. And the consequence is worse than ending up empty-handed. Isn't that true? Because we ask, we simply ask, and then whenever we don't get it, we blame God, we blame everyone around us, it causes conflicts, and we say this and that against everyone else. And the worst thing is sometimes we put the blame on someone else. Oh, I made a mistake. It's not good to let people know that I made that mistake. Maybe I should pass that mistake and blame it on somebody else. That may be the system of the world. But God asks us to be humble. And if we have made a mistake, we come before Him and ask for forgiveness. 1 John chapter 1 tells us that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and He will forgive us of all unrighteousness. This is a promise that God has given to us. So friends of the world means that we are against God and we have entered in and we have become like an adulterer in God's sight. Imagine it this way, right? I love Stephanie, and Stephanie loves me. But what happens if one day I decide that, I will not let Stephanie know, but I have another woman outside? Okay? And what happens if she discovers it? She discovered it. I must say something to Stephanie. And so I have nothing to say but to sing her this song. I love you, you love me, we are happy family. What do you think that Stephanie will do? And I don't blame her because I have been unfaithful to her. When Israel fell in love with the gods of the nations around her, she became like an adulteress in God's sight. She has prostituted herself. And that's why the prophets were like saying to the people, you better shape up or you get shipped out of Israel. That's why God says that He is a jealous God. God loved the nation of Israel to the very end. And God loves us to the extent that He sent His Son to die on the cross for us. And if we fall in love with the world, we are rebelling against God. And so can we blame God for saying to us that you are like a prostitute in my sight? And that's why God is jealous. Yet God, like for example in the book of Hosea, He shows to us how even though the nation has fallen, they can still have a way back to Him. And so God desires that we put away all the systems of the world that is against, that is opposing Him, and we come back to Him. If you harbor anger in your heart, look at what's in you and solve that problem. God is our source of help. If you find that, no, I cannot help myself. Good, you cannot help yourself. There is a God who can help you. Turn to God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longed for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? This is the NIV version. Okay. But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. This passage in James is one of the hardest to understand, because some people say that we don't really know what James is trying to say. But I like NIV's version. It tells us that we actually belong to God, and God is jealous for us. All right? And that jealousy that we are talking about is not like, I envy you. You have this. I don't have this. Therefore, I'm jealous. No, that jealousy that God is showing to us is he's the Holy God, and we belong to him. And it's like him covering us and says that you belong to me. Please don't go look for some other lover outside. Okay? The spirit within us jealously guards our relationship with God. And the spirit is grieved when we sinned against God's love. And so James tells us, gives to us some solutions. And he says that there is a cure for all this conflict in you. There is a cure for your worldliness. There is a cure. And that cure is come to Jesus. God is a jealous God. He does not want any other things or God to come between us and him. He wants us for himself. If he does not want us for himself, why would he have sent Jesus Christ to die for us? Remember then, victory is found in Jesus Christ. On that cross, when Jesus was hanging there, he allowed God's will to work in him. He said, just before his arrest, "Father, please remove this cup from me. But if it is in your will that I should go through it, just let me go through it." And when he was arrested, he was saying to the people, "Don't you think that I don't have the power to call down 12 legions of angels?" Just remember, one angel in Egypt, he can slay all the firstborn in Egypt. What about 12 legions of angels? Jesus could have saved himself. But no, the way to victory was not the absence of a suffering. But the way of victory is when Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. And 3 days later, death has no power over him. He came back alive and he gave to us this assurance that when we trust in him, we can have eternal life. Jesus is the victorious one. Paul himself in 1 Corinthians 15 says, "Oh death, where is your victory? Oh grave, where is your victory?" Because in Jesus Christ now, death and the grave has lost its victory. It's already defeated. The evil one, the devil himself, they are all defeated. Jesus is the victorious king. And so if we want cure for the conflicts that we are facing in ourselves, find it in Jesus Christ. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit in us, he will guard us. He will guide us. Jesus says that he has given to us the Holy Spirit to be our comforter. So there is this call for us to walk humbly before God. As we walk humbly before God and we submit ourselves to God's wisdom, downloading wisdom from heaven, then you will find that you can have this success in overcoming the world opposed to God. So, where did we go from here? We have said a lot of things, but can I ask you to consider just a few closing thoughts? Jesus Christ is the victorious conqueror, and he wants us to follow him. God is the one who loved us to the very end. He is jealous for us. Ask yourself if there are anything that is coming between you and God. It's something that you don't have to answer me, but it's, you ask yourself, what is it that I've placed between me and God? Is it my car, my house, my clothing, my labubu, whatever? There is God who wants our undivided love. Remember, when you are in love with the world, then you cannot be in love with Jesus. You cannot be standing on two boats, one foot on each boat. If the motor starts, I don't know where you will end up. You have to decide whether you want to follow the world or follow Jesus. In Jesus, He has given to us the ability to have wisdom that comes from heaven. Then the last thought, the Bible that we have in our hands, it is our guide. Never ever forget to read your Bible. Never ever forget to connect with God. Okay, let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We pray, O God, that you will help us to be true disciples of yours, and we pray that you will help us make good and clear decisions that would affect not only our lives in following you, but also that we can become peacemakers and have a good impact on the world around us. We pray, O God, that in all the things that we do, it will bring honor and glory to you. We pray that you will forgive us if we have trusted in earthly wisdom, but we pray, O God, that you will help us, O Lord, to refocus and to download the heavenly wisdom that we may please you and honor you. And so, God, we pray that you will help us to have the wisdom to make the good and clear decision. And if there be any conflicts within us as a church, we pray, O God, that you will be the one who will step in to heal us. You will be the one who will bring to us joy again. In Jesus' name, amen.